We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Hey, what's going on? This is episode 145 of Hogan Johns. We're back after just a small hiatus. And I know everyone's been clamoring for an episode, so we got enough news to talk about here. So we took, a week and a half? What's it been, a week and a half, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's only been a week and a half, people. Yeah. We need some time to get away, want to get away. But I hear you. I've had a lot to say, actually, lately. Just no one to tell it to but my wife, and she's tired of that, Adam.
Yeah, mine too. Mine too. That's usually how it goes. We got a lot to get to, actually. A lot of staff news. We got another hashtag Johns bomb last night with some training staff news. We're going to get to all that. And just an outstanding special teams, assistant special teams coordinator hire.
I'm looking forward to the sound bites from this.
I'm really excited about it because, you know, we're losing What Does the Fox Say. We officially retired it in episode 144. It was a good run, 144 episodes of John Fox, and we move on. But, you know, James Brockman Olivo might carry on the torch here a little bit. We'll get into that a little bit. And, of course, Alshon Jeffrey, our friend Alshon, is in the Super Bowl. So we'll get a little Super Bowl talk a little bit later on. But first, follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And you can find the podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, the WGN Radio app. And that app is something you should definitely download. Because here's why. The little bit of exciting breaking news we definitely want to share with you. A lot of fun with this podcast over the last 3 years, and don't worry, it's not going anywhere. In fact, it won't be impacted at all. But at WGN Radio, we're expanding this a little bit and launching a brand new show starting next week at the Super Bowl. It's called Sports Central, which, if that rings a bell, it's because Sports Central is an iconic WGN Radio brand that was around for 3 decades.
Yeah,
up until a couple years ago. And we're bringing it back in kind of a new form, launching Tuesday from Radio Row at the Super Bowl. I'm going to be there relaunching this show. And it's a little bit different from just your regular sports talk radio show. In fact, it's going to be more like this podcast, which is why I want to make sure I'm sharing this with you guys today. So for our loyal podcast listeners, you can listen to this the same way you listen to this one. However you listen to it, whether it's iTunes, WGNRadio.com, ChicagoSunTimes.com, tune in, however you do it, you can listen to it the exact same way. You're just going to have to subscribe the same way you do, and the iTunes information is not quite available. It should be by the end of this week, so I will share that with you. Look for that on Twitter at Adam Hogue. But the twist here, Johnsy, is that you can actually listen to this new show live as well. So it's almost as if we were able to share this podcast, like as we record it live, like people could listen to us live as we recorded it.
That's a dangerous thought, Adam.
I know.
At least for this podcast. A lot of the off-air comments, I don't know if people would approve of the extra banter that goes on to make this podcast.
Right. The stuff that we edit out, you know.
Yes. We gotta clean things up sometimes, people. But I think Adam will keep things wise and clean during his show.
Yeah, all the swearing and things like that.
And love media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this will be available live to listen to Monday through Friday. So that's the other difference. We do this podcast mostly weekly during the season. It's twice a week. Monday through Friday, Sports Central is going to be available, whether you want to listen to it as a podcast or streaming live on WGNRadio.com or that WGN Radio app. So right now, since I don't have the iTunes information, if you don't have the WGN Radio app, you should go download it. It's available on Android and on at your Apple products. Pretty much any phone you have, you should be able to download it. And you can listen live Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. So it's an hour show because we're really hoping to put this out as a podcast every day. And that's kind of, you know, the sweet spot in terms of length for a podcast. And we're going to be doing it Monday through Friday. We're going to it's going to be more than Bears. So that's the thing. I mean, we know a lot of our listeners are just diehard Bears fans and don't really care about the rest of Chicago sports, and that's fine. Maybe Sports Central won't be for you then, but we're also going to have a ton of football, ton of Bears stuff on there. And for those of you that are also Cubs fans and White Sox fans and Bulls fans and Blackhawks fans, and we'll tackle all sports issues as well on this new show. So it'll all be there for you, a little bit different from Hogan Johns, but for you loyal listeners, we're not going anywhere. We're still going to be doing this podcast the same amount we usually do in the off season, which is a little bit slower this time of year, Johns, right? But once we get to the draft, we'll pick it back up every week. And then in the off season with mini camp and the whole, and then once we get to training camp, we get back on our regular schedule. So I'm really excited about this. And of course, Johns, I hope you're going to be a frequent contributor to the new show as well. We'll have you on a lot and it should be a lot of fun.
I promise you I'll be on your show. Just we have to limit the White Sox talk. I think everybody should know that Adam has a White Sox fetish to the extreme.
Fetish.
And, I'm not calling it a fandom, Adam. I'm not calling it that.
Oh, it's worse than that?
Yeah, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. Your White Sox rants, whether on Sports Talk Live or on Twitter, are quite legendary among Chicago media members.
So that's scary thought. They get talked about. All right. Well, you know, it's just passion. It's passion.
Yeah. Passion.
Yeah.
I get it. For the White Sox of all teams.
Hey, man, I can't control how I was raised. It's just, you know, it is what it is. All right. And it's the same passion a lot of our listeners have for the Chicago Bears. And we'll dive right in now to, you know, our usual Bears conversation.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
That's right, Fangio. We haven't done a podcast since the press conferences last week.
I was just thinking that press conference provided us with so many new sound bites to, like, our intro. Harold Jones Quarty, he's not here. Pernell McPhee could be gone. John Fox, we're no longer day to day in his book because he has no more book here in Chicago.
Right.
We might have to have Joe refurbish our intro.
Yeah, we might need to update that. Especially with something like that.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
Because that's what we there do here go. On this podcast. It's a love fest.
Do your research.
That was another one. Do your research. Oh, JJ Stankiewicz, do your research.
That was awesome. All right. Well, you dropped a Johns bomb on us a little bit late last night. I'm not sure, you know, it's funny because there's been so much talk about Bears injuries over the last 3 years, and it's a big conversation. But, you know, the trainer position and the strength and conditioning position, it's usually, you know, your average fan couldn't even name who those guys are, right, on a staff. But the Bears, well, I'll let you report it. You're the one who reported the breaking news on Nate Bresky.
Yeah, I got word last night that he is no longer or will no longer be part of the team. I've always been like the devil's advocate on this. You've always brought up injuries. You've always harped on them. I've always tried to say football is football. You got guys with a torn ACL. You got guys with broken shoulder blades. You know, the disparity in terms of what the injuries were, you know, didn't alarm me as much. But I'm not Ryan Pace. I'm not Matt Nagy. You know, when they go through and look at all these things, they probably have more information than we do. Maybe it's not the Kevin Whites of the world. Maybe it's not the Cam Meredith of the world. Maybe it's, you know, them not knowing what to do best with Kyle Long and having him play through certain injuries. Or maybe it's, you know, reoccurring injuries for Josh Sitton. Even though these guys are playing, maybe it's these minor ailments that are limiting the effectiveness of the team, and enough is enough. The changes have to be made. So it's not surprising to me in a way that Bresky's gone, just like Jason George is gone. These are guys that came in with John Fox. You know, Matt Nagy wants to have his own guys. Just look at the offensive staff turnover. But I guess there is some surprise in my eyes a little bit, maybe because we don't have the complete information of everything that the Bears were dealing with injury-wise over the past 3 years.
Well, it's interesting because these positions, and tell me if you disagree with me, but I kind of view them as sort of a in a gray area between falling under the general manager and the head coach. You know, whereas like a head coach usually hires a coaching staff. Well, these are coaching staff positions, kind of. You know, your head athletic trainer and your strength and conditioning coach, but it. The GM also has a lot of say over these specific positions because it kind of affects the whole organization, and it's not just about, you know, game planning for Sunday, right? So, but the head coach does have a, you know, should have a lot of say over these positions as well. So when you factor in the fact that there's a new head coach, and Matt Nagy's certainly going to have his guys, a list of guys that he would like for these positions, and then you also factor in the amount of injuries the Bears have had over the last 3 years, I'm not surprised by these changes. I don't think that you put all of these injuries on Nate Bresky, Jason George. I don't think that's fair. I think you're right, Adam, when you, you know, defend them from that standpoint. However, you know, when I hear Greg Gabriel on the radio raving about Rusty Jones, who, you know, used to be the Bears strength and conditioning coach and was for a long time in Buffalo and then a long time here in Chicago, and hearing somebody who was in the front office talk about how they had the least amount of injuries they've ever seen in their long NFL career, you know, that says, well, maybe not these injuries, maybe these injuries weren't these guys' fault, but that doesn't mean it can't be better under different people in these positions, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Jason George was completely a Fox guy. Came with him from Denver. It's the conditioning, building your body to withstand certain injuries. I'm not saying these guys have to be disciples of the TB12 method, but that Tom Brady wants to pitch and sell to everyone and create his cult or whatever you want to call it now. There are ways to condition the body. There's a way to treat the body. I just look at the Bresky situation and how things kind of unfolded with Kyle Long and why he's having neck surgery. You know, why is he having neck surgery? Man, what did you guys miss? You know, what's going on there with an important core player? What was missed with him? You can't miss things like that. I'm not saying that Bresky missed something, but obviously something was amiss here with one of your most important players needing multiple surgeries in different areas. Look, these guys have the credentials. These guys have their jobs for a reason, but it's also changing in the NFL. You have all these players with their private coaches, right? Not just positional coaches, like Mitch Trubisky will have a quarterback's coach, a private quarterback's coach and all that. But like they have all these personal trainers and they have all their own masseuses. Players go outside the building a lot. And I think when players continuously do that, you have the planning for the team, the planning for the player can be completely different, right? The team may want to do one thing, the agent and the private trainers may want to do another thing, and then you lead to a disparity in training, you lead to certain injuries and stuff like that. So I think that's a factor as well.
Well, we'll at least have something to compare it against now, right? Under
yeah.
The new coaching staff, you know, if things get better, you know, if they do end up with somebody like Rusty Jones. When Rusty was here, man, he had a really good reputation, and people talked about it every year and wrote stories about it every year. And so maybe the Bears can find somebody like that, where it's pretty clear that somebody is having a very positive effect. You know, in general, I think whether it's strength and conditioning training or, you know, just a way a certain player gets talked about, when there are questions raised that don't really get answered over 3 years, usually there's something amiss, right? Whereas yeah. On the flip side, if there are stories constantly being generated about positivity and the, you know, good things, that usually mean, for comparison's sake, Trubisky this year, no one seems to have any doubts whatsoever about him as a teammate, a leader. Everyone raves about him, right? We spent a lot of time defending Jay Cutler, but for 9 years, those stories about, you know, there was always a debate over that. Well, usually there's some truth to it, right?
Yeah, what's the old cliche? Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
Right? So if you look at the Bears injury situation, what, 21 players a year ago in IR, 16 this year. I know they got different injuries, but I think at least to me, when like you saw Darrell Freeman go down with a pectoral injury, then you saw Nick Kwiatkowski go down with a pectoral injury, you almost wondered, what's going on? Why are these linebackers who play probably one of the most violent positions on the field suffering the same injuries? I mean, does that have to do with training? You know, who are they listening to? What are they doing? What can they do differently? You know, why can't they convince them to do better things in their bodies and stuff like that? There's a lot that go into it. Players have to be trained differently, and it's on an individual basis. And it's up to these coaches, your Jason Georges and Nate Breskys of the world, to develop the best plans individually for these players based on their body size, what their bodies can handle. And I get that some players are just more injury prone than others. I'm a firm believer that some people are just not built to play football. They're not built to withstand the violence of it. This is coming from a guy who broke his leg and broke his collarbone and had a couple concussions in his life playing the game. So, but yeah, I really think that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, they saw something. They saw something wrong with what was going on in the training department. And with John Fox gone, it was time to add their new guys.
All right, elsewhere on the staff, Vic Fangio last week hinted that his defensive staff would be staying. Every once in a while, you still have one defection or, you know, addition. So far, we haven't heard anything whatsoever. So, you know, the coaching carousel, especially on the assistant level, is still churning. There's still a possibility there could be changes. But so far, I mean, you know, just in general, big picture too, the way the Bears jumped on hiring Matt Nagy and getting the coordinators hired and everything, you know, right now you're seeing how many teams just made their hires a couple days ago, are still waiting to officially make their hires, whether it's Matt Patricia in Detroit. There's situations like that, and everything kind of is on hold. People don't think about all the assistants that have to be hired. So the fact that the Bears got on this so early, they've had so much stability in the last couple weeks in a very unstable situation, right? And can go down in the Senior Bowl this week. And as we're speaking, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are down there. I'm sure a bunch of the assistants are too, scouting players instead of having to hire other coaches.
Yeah, complete positive, total positive. I know it's, you have to be patient and not rush certain things because certain players, like James Betcher, right, the defensive coordinator of the Cardinals is now going to be the defensive coordinator of the Giants, I believe, right, for Pat Shurmur. Heck yeah. Of a coach, right? Mm-hmm. There were some rumors about the Bears being linked to him, although I don't think there was really much to it, but he has an emphasis on outside linebackers, and we know that that could be a position that the Bears could have made a change at, you know, with Brandon Staley, a young guy, being Vic Fangio's basically right-hand man on defense. But I kind of like that they're having full continuity on defense. I thought that Jay Rogers could be a candidate to leave because his brother Jeff was the special teams coordinator, and he was out immediately. He was John Fox's right man. That's Jeff Rogers. But the brothers have worked together for several years now, and I think they like that. But Jay is the one who has settled down. He has a family. So I wonder if that stability under Fangio and within the Bears organization intrigued him more to stay instead of leaving with his brother. So I thought he would be a candidate to leave. But obviously, no word yet on anything right now. And then we were talking off the air about the offensive side. It looks like Dave Ragone is the only returning offensive staff member under Matt Nagy.
Yeah, and that's significant. I think a significant vote of confidence of despite all the turmoil offensively last season, apparently the Bears liked the work that Dave Ragone did with Mitch Trubisky, and that says a lot because as we've talked about so much over the last year, this is all about Mitch. So that's a pretty good vote of confidence for Dave Ragone.
Yeah, and they looked at other guys. That's no secret. They looked at guys with probably considerably more experience to put around Mitch Trubisky. But I think they like what Dave Ragone has. And I think they listen to a Mitch Trubisky who obviously has a connection with the Dave Ragone, and having some level of continuity, having some guy around to build off what was already established this year, who already knows some of the concerns of Mitch Trubisky, whether it's physically, mentally, some of the things that need improvement. Dave Ragone has firsthand knowledge of that.
Yeah,
so
he can sit in that room, you know, whenever they're watching film and going, well, hey, in this situation last year, Mitch did this. You know, he handled it this way. I think that that's pretty valuable.
Yeah, and you know what? Some of these other guys that they were talking to, I just think, look, Ragone could be here for a while. These other candidates that the Bears brought in, you know, maybe they come in for a year and they move on to bigger and better things.
Like a Daryl Bevel, who obviously wants to be an offensive coordinator.
Yes, it sounds great to bring in a guy like that. But like a Todd Downing, he was linked to the Bears, the former Raiders offensive coordinator. Great offensive mind, great experience working with Derek Carr and also Matthew Stafford with the Lions. So his resume is impressive. It's more impressive than a Dave Ragone. But in a sense, he's almost too qualified to be the quarterback spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a guy who's going to be a candidate to move on at some point. Same with Daryl Bevel, who's already been linked to some offensive coordinator openings. To have a guy like Dave Ragone who could offer stability for a couple of seasons for Mitch Trubisky, who has an obviously tight rapport with Mitch Trubisky, I think it's extremely beneficial, and I think it makes sense for Matt Nagy to make that move, to keep him around.
Yeah, I think so too. How about, let's see, I'm just trying to think of this through my head. What positions still need to be filled?
I think that's it. I got it up right here. You got Mark Helfrich, your offensive coordinator, Charles London, your running backs coach, Mike Fury, your wide receivers coach, Kevin Gilbride, tight ends, Harry Hiestand, offensive line, Dave Ragone, quarterbacks. We mentioned the entire defensive staff. You got your guy Brock Olivo here to help Chris Tabor.
Yep.
You just got your athletic staff, your training staff, and your strength and conditioning staff to fill out. Now, those are important jobs. Maybe they're holding interviews, for all we know, in Mobile up in the stands, because we know how the Senior Bowl works, Adam. It's like a mini job convention for the NFL. But that's it right now, I think, for the Bears staff.
All right. Well, speaking of Brock Olivo, we need to get to my favorite addition to this coaching staff. Full name, James Brockman Olivo, born June 24th, 1976, at least according to Wikipedia. Let's just introduce him to the Bears fan base.
Good afternoon, folks. Brock Olivo, special teams coordinator. I want to thank Vance Joseph for not only the six-hour grueling interview to test my fortitude and whatnot knowledge.
Brock, using your words, the six-hour grilling, what was the toughest question you got?
Toughest question I got was about a lasagna dish that my wife makes. She's Sicilian, and so Coach was really, no. And look, man, we're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable. And we're going to turn our guys loose. And really, our motto, and it's going to be on my office, is going to be cut it loose and have fun. That's what we're going to do. Well, I'm going to teach the guys some Italian. And like I said, there's going to be no shortage of pastries and lasagna. No, it's a niche, and I sold it to my teammates, and I've sold it to my players like this. Look, man, how cool is it? Okay, when everyone else is shunning special teams and putting it on the back burner, how cool are you if you're different and you make it a priority? How cool is that, man?
I love this guy.
This is a football guy.
He is the most football-y coach I think that has ever coached in NFL. Okay, so that is from almost a year ago when he was hired as the Broncos special teams coordinator, which only lasted a year. They let him go at the end of the season. From what I understand, it wasn't a great year for Broncos special teams. But he is not the Bears special teams coordinator. He's assistant special teams coordinator, will help Chris Tabor, and comes from the Dave Tobe coaching tree, worked in Kansas City with Matt Nagy and Dave Tobe. So that's the connection and why he's ending up here in Chicago. And I mean, from that standpoint, he's got the credentials. His He's got a fascinating background, though. Now, you heard him talking about lasagna and teaching players Italian. That's because he was once the head coach of Italy's football team. Like, I didn't even know they had a football team.
No idea. They had no idea. That's amazing. Wasn't he Missouri's, like, all-time leading rusher and touchdown scorer?
Yes. He was a Missouri running back, like, back in the 90s.
Yeah. He played for the Lions for a little bit, right?
Yep. Man. And then Marines Lazio, which apparently is a team in Italy. And then he became the head coach of that team and then the head coach of the Italian national team.
I had no idea. Who did they play?
I don't know. They like play Germany? I'm not sure how that works.
Poland? Who else has a team? And like this isn't European NFL. This is a team in Europe or whatever. This is I don't think we're ever going to get a chance to talk to a Brock Olivo. I think he's going to be Chris Tabor is going to handle most of the press conferences, right? But we have to find a way to get him on this podcast.
Yeah.
That should be like a goal for training camp, you know, to sit down with Brock Olivo and just talk ball.
That would be great.
We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable.
Isn't that just kill?
Well, then there's a comma in there, right?
Keep it likable and learnable. What's the it part?
Yeah.
We use the word OSCE.
Is that Tim Beckman?
That's our old friend Tim Beckman.
Oh, man.
We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable.
Oh, man. Brock Olivo, welcome to Chicago. Welcome to the Hogan Johns podcast. We definitely need to get you on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's the epitome. Everybody wants to know what defines a football guy. That's part of the – if you're the head coach of Italy, you are the – you embody what a football guy is. You love the game that much, as we all do.
Yeah. All right. There is a Super Bowl also happening. Which I mentioned that I'm going to be there all next week with the new show Sports Central. Locally, though, the big angle, of course, is Alshon Jeffrey and him saying this last year.
I guarantee you we'll win the Super Bowl next year.
That was when he was still on the Bears.
I love how he, since then, his response to that is, I didn't say which team, in the sly Alshon, you know.
Right. Okay.
Smile that he had.
So that's what I want to address here, right? So, because I cut that short. This was the full answer when he said that last year. This was at the end of the 2016 season on January 1st, New Year's Day, 2017. The Bears season ended against the Vikings in Minnesota. They got blown out. And you and I were both there. We're in this scrum after the game, in the locker room, talking to Alshon Jeffrey about his future. And I have the whole thing if we want to play it, but this was the entire answer.
I guarantee you we'll win the Super Bowl next year. We had a lot of injuries. I don't think no team in the league had a lot of injuries. As much injuries as us.
So he's clearly talking about the Bears.
Yep. And then he didn't want to come back to the Bears. And then he decided to leave. I think we got to make that clear. Like, people are still up in arms about not replacing Alshon Jeffrey. No, they try to. When you lose your top three receivers to injuries, even before the season starts, that kind of changes things.
Yeah.
You know, they signed three guys in free agency to try to offset certain, you know, production loss from Alshon Jeffrey. I get that Alshon Jeffrey is a top-tier receiver, top 10 receiver in my books. But he did not want to return to the Chicago Bears, even though he made the Super Bowl promise.
Well, and Look, let's play this whole thing because you can kind of hear that. I don't think this was the last time he talked to us. Because if I remember right, he did talk to us the next day.
In the locker room.
In the locker room and like doubled down on a Super Bowl guarantee, if I remember right. I couldn't find that audio. But here's the entire, it's only like a minute and a half, but this was the entire thing that happened after the game in Minneapolis as we talked to him. And I don't know, you listen to it, you let me know what you think, but to me, it sounds like a guy, now that we know he left, that was planning on leaving.
Alshon, at any point today, did it ever go through your
mind that this might be the last game you play for the Bears?
Nah, man, I was just going out just just playing football. I ain't really thought about that.
Maybe sum up the, your frustrations this season, the change of quarterbacks, the suspension. Does that make things longer?
I just think it's a process, man. I mean, we had a lot of injuries. I mean, I was suspended. Another player suspended. So it was a lot of ups and downs, but it's a process. It's something that we got to build from just going into the next year. I mean, this year.
Do you want to stay with the Chicago Bears?
As of right now, I'm a Chicago Bear. I mean, it's a business at the end of the day. Like I said, man, I'm a Chicago Bear.
You think your market value stays where it was or higher, lower than it was this time last year?
That's for you guys to decide. I mean, I know what type of player I am. That's what you guys decide. So I'm not tripping on that.
Well, I mean, you play a role in deciding when you didn't get a long-term deal done last year, right?
Like I said, that's for Mr. Pace, my agent, and you guys to decide.
Are you going to let your agent know that you'd prefer, that you would like to stay here? Are you going to, do you have any preferences?
Like I said, that's between Mr. Pace and my agent, whatever else happened. I mean, right now, I'm a Chicago Bear. I'm happy with that.
Do you think this team has enough, if you were here next year, to be a contender?
I guarantee you, we'll win the Super Bowl next year. We had a lot of injuries. I don't think no team in the league had a lot of injuries. As much injuries as us.
What a weird thing this guarantee.
Yeah, after saying all that, I forgot I asked some of those questions. I kind of vividly remember being in the crowded Vikings locker room or the visiting locker room at the Vikings stadium. God, over a year ago.
Yeah.
The vibe I got, I kind of remember my impression after that now. Like, there's no way he's returning. In my mind, like, he was already gone. I don't care. Like, the Super Bowl promise, great thing for Twitter. People go crazy about, great for TV, whatever. But in my mind, there was no way that Alshon Jeffrey was returning at that point.
Yeah, and, I've talked to a couple people in the league that even feel like the extension he got from the Eagles this year, 4 years, what was it, like $44 million or something like that, wasn't as big as maybe he could have gotten. That he still kind of took less money just to get the security, because I think what we've learned is that there was just not a long-term deal out there last offseason for him for the amount of money that he was looking for. And that's why he took the 1 year, was it $14 million deal with the Eagles? And
that was full of incentives too.
Yes. Yeah. And kind of bet on himself. And then midway through this year, took an okay deal, not a huge deal. I mean, I'd certainly love that much money, but, took the security once he got it, and he's on a good team. But it is interesting, the guarantee that he made, and sure enough, he's in the Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Yeah. If you look at statistically, I'm going to pull him up right now. Like, he wasn't overly impressive statistic-wise.
Right.
He did not blow as good as the Eagles were offensively. It's not like he put up Julio Jones. Like numbers. Here we go. 57 receptions for 789 yards. 789 and 9 touchdowns this season. He was targeted 120 times in 16 games and caught only 57 passes. That's a catch percentage under 50%.
Yeah.
So, yes, he does tilt the field his way. He does. He really, really does. That's no lie. But he was also part of an offense that featured Zach Ertz, a Pro Bowler, Torrey Smith. He had Carson Wentz playing out of his mind. I think it kind of dawned on him that he had to take the Eagles deal. And I think he had better statistics last year in 12 games for the Bears. 821 yard receiving yards. I mean, he didn't have the touchdown numbers, but he didn't have Carson Wentz either. But it's not like he blew the NFL apart this year statistically. It's just not true.
Well, the thing about him is he still struggles to get wide open. You know, he he's not a guy who separates a whole lot. He's not the fastest guy in the world. So I think that that's a lot of times when he's getting the ball thrown his way, it's in tight windows. So I think that that's probably why that catch percentage is so low, because they're not easy catches a lot of times. I mean, that's why he was so valuable in the Bears offense, because when push came to shove, you knew you could kind of throw it up to him and let him make a play on the ball, because he is good at coming down with some of those. But it's not always easy when you're not the most polished route runner. You're not always getting wide open. And even, you know, those big plays he had the other night in the NFC Championship game were kind of a result of blown coverages, right?
Yeah.
Or 39-year-old Terrence Newman on him. So, you know, he still continues to be a little bit of an enigma. And let's not forget he got suspended last year. And it's interesting because here he is getting that extension with the Eagles. He's clearly a big piece of the puzzle for the Eagles. But I don't know, even after all the problems the Bears had from the wide receiver position this year, that anyone's really missing him here in Chicago. Yeah.
Look, he's a good receiver. Would he be the best receiver on the Bears? Absolutely. But we're not talking about a Julio Jones like receiver. We're not talking about an Antonio Brown caliber of a receiver. Alshon Jeffrey is a nice piece. He was part of a very good offense this year for the Eagles. They had a lot of different weapons. And if you just want to argue pure numbers, yes, you like the 9 touchdowns. That's a great number. But it's 57 catches for 189 yards. Does not scream number one wide receiver to me. I don't know if it does to other people around the league who bemoan the fact that the Bears, you know, let him leave in free agency, even though he didn't want to be here. But 57 catches, 789 yards. That's not number one receiver like production.
No, I think he's a good number two. And I think that that's kind of always how I viewed him. But, you know, I will say this. I still think the Bears should have franchised him.
One more year. One more time.
I think because they had so much cap space, they had the money. I mean, that was proven by how much they gave Mike Glennon. And even factoring in what they gave Mike Glennon, they had, you know, they had the money to do it. And it was too much of a gamble to rely on Kevin White and Cam Meredith, especially when there just was not good options after that. And they signed a bunch of options, and none of them worked out. Except Kendall Wright a little bit.
I mean, but do you franchise tag a guy who clearly doesn't want to be here? If you're that solid and you're thinking that this guy does not want to be here, do I really want to give him this much money?
Well,
like what does that message send, right?
Well, it still sends the message that you're trying to hold on to your own draft picks. But more importantly, I just look at it like 2017 depth chart. They needed Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, that was proven by the way the year went on. So, you know, maybe they have more success. Maybe things change. Now, the way it played out, I don't know that it would have changed anything. I mean, we might still be sitting here today thinking, Alshon wants to leave. And maybe that would have been the case. But they still needed him in 2017. That's the point. And they had the money to franchise him. So, I mean,
it's the whole Kyle Fuller conundrum now, right?
Exactly. Part two. You're in this again, and it's a player who's not perfect, who's pretty talented but not perfect, and over the course of 4 years hasn't put everything together, has not been completely reliable from a health standpoint. I mean, it's a very, very, very similar situation. But again, I don't know how many times you can let these draft picks walk out the door. At some point, you got to retain these guys.
Right. I get that they're not – like Ryan Pace did not draft Kyle Fuller. Ryan Pace did not draft Alshon Jeffrey. They're not his players per se. But they're still high-round draft picks of your organization.
Yeah.
They're still talented players who have produced at some points in their careers at high volume. Like this year, Kyle Fuller with all the pass breakups. A couple of years ago when Alshon Jeffrey was a Pro Bowler, right? They've produced at a high level in the NFL. They're talented players. They've proven that. You cannot let all the talent walk out the door. So at some point, you have to maybe swallow a few things, you know, swallow your pride or swallow your disappointment or swallow that you know he may not fully want to be here and spend some money to keep some of that talent here, at least for one more year. I think they have to do it with Kyle Fuller. I think it makes too much sense not to franchise tag Kyle Fuller this year.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's not going to be cheap, but I also don't think Kyle is going to be taking a hometown discount here because of, you know, they didn't treat him like a – and I've defended the Bears 100 times on this, and I will continue. But when you – don't pick up the fifth-year option, and then you bring in two other starters at that position and push that guy down the depth chart in a prove-it situation. And look, it worked out. So I think the Bears actually handled it properly. But when you do all that, you can't then expect the player to take a hometown discount when he performs, right? So that's the situation they're in, and I think Kyle Fuller is going to look to get paid. And it's going to be an interesting situation. They may have to use the franchise tag. We got plenty of time to talk about that over the next couple months, though, as that unfolds. This is Senior Bowl week. The last couple years, you and I have, well, more than a couple years, but the last couple years we've done the podcast from down there. Neither of us are in Mobile this week, but we still wanted to hit on a couple things. Anything catch your eye as practices started up yesterday in Mobile?
What caught my eye is how much I think I kind of miss it. People always criticize the trip to Mobile, but it's grown on me over the past, God, 6 or 7 years in a row that I've been down there. I know my way around Mobile too well, I think.
Yep.
Think it's kind of scary how well I could navigate that town, but in terms of watching football, it's such a good football trip, right? You watch practices, you talk football. You talk with scouts, you talk with agents. It's good to catch up with certain people from all around the league, whether it's media, just other people who work for organizations in various capacities. It's a good trip. It's a really good trip. And you get to watch practices, and you get to really evaluate what you're seeing. So I think I kind of miss it. So that's what sticks out to me, though, Adam. I don't know how you feel about not being in Mobile right now.
I don't miss Mobile at all. I mean, the city of Mobile. I don't miss that part of it. I don't miss flying into that small airport and driving down that, what is that, airport road?
Airport Boulevard, baby.
I think it's 5 miles, but it feels like 20 miles.
A lot of lights.
Just to get to the hotel. I agree with you, though. I mean, I do miss the football side of it because it is great access to see, you know, a lot of the top prospects in the draft, and at least the top seniors, and you get to see them up close with your own eyes, and it's very, very valuable in terms of the NFL draft. The reason I'm not there is because of the, you know, Sports Central starting up next week from the Super Bowl and being there all week and just getting this whole thing off the ground. But definitely been watching it closely. The thing I am missing this year is the quarterback situation. A lot of the years I've been down there, like last year, I came. The Bears clearly needed a quarterback. They ended up drafting a quarterback. And I remember writing on the plane home from Mobile, the Bears quarterback of the future was not here. Not here.
Yeah.
All that talk about Nathan Peterman down there and the Bears might liking him and coaching him, and Dow Loggins was working with him. The Bears were coaching in the game. They got the first-hand look. I mean, there's a reason why they didn't draft any of those guys, because I left Mobile going, none of these guys are good. Maybe they're backups. Maybe they can play a little bit. Nathan Peterman ended up getting a couple starts. It didn't go very well this year with the Buffalo Bills. But none of those guys had anywhere near the talent of Mitch Trubisky. Whereas when Jimmy Garoppolo was there, when Carson Wentz was there, when Derek Carr was there, you could see those guys were pros. And what's interesting this year is you got Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield there. And already in day one, you're seeing kind of a big difference between those two.
I'm not sold on Josh Allen. You got to like the measurables. You got to like the big arm. But this guy had a low completion percentage. This guy's numbers dipped this year. You know why? Because he didn't have Tanner Gentry, but that's aside. Do you like him? I don't. I don't see how you could spend the number one overall pick on a guy from Wyoming with that type of production, with those types of concerns. I get that there's a lot to like. The size, again, the big arm. He's just got natural talents. But you know what? A lot of teams have fallen in love with guys with the natural measurables, the natural talents. It doesn't always work out. You need hard production. You need actual results to verify certain things for me. I think the Bears, you know, we'll give John Fox this. You know how he always used to say that Mitch Trubisky would have been the best quarterback coming out this year? I think he's – give it to him. He's probably right. You know, if Mitch Trubisky stayed in college for one more year in North Carolina, didn't get hurt, he probably would be the number one guy this year that we're all talking about. But his stock was high last year. He had to come out. It made too much sense for him not to come out. But I think the Bears may look smart. A lot of these quarterbacks coming out this year, your Josh Rosen's, the kid, the Sam Darnold from USC, your Josh Allen's, your Baker Mayfield's. Give me Mitch Trubisky over all of those guys.
Yeah, I'm still – this is the time of year where I start diving into the tape on these guys, and I'm way too – it's way too early to kind of make big conclusions. But kind of first impressions – a lot of questions about a lot of these guys, whereas I was able to look at Mitch Trubisky because I wrote a thing in, I think it was January, it was early February last year, just kind of like early impressions on all these guys, and right away I remember writing, I think Mitch Trubisky is going to end up being my number one guy. This year it's very up in the air, and you're seeing this right now with Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. As far as Josh Allen goes, I mean, this guy has made some incredible throws. His arm is phenomenal. And when he delivers strikes, they look like Hall of Fame level throws, like that good. However, they don't happen very often. And he's got this cannon of an arm, and the accuracy's all over the place. The decision-making's all over the place. I see a lot of Jay Cutler in him. I see a lot of Jay Cutler, both in the size of his body, his athleticism. The one nice thing is he's coming from a pro-style offense. The Wyoming's coach was Carson Wentz's coach at North Dakota State. That's where they hired him from. So it's the same offense that Carson Wentz came out of, and I think that that's a plus for him. But there's also some questions about attitude already and things like that. It's way too early to kind of judge him on those kinds of things. They have to do some more digging. But when it comes to Baker Mayfield, I love Baker Mayfield. I don't know how much I love him as a first round pick. I think he's going to end up probably in that category. But in terms of what he did at Oklahoma, he has a strong enough arm. He can make all the throws. His decision making is mostly good. He's got mobility. He falls on the shorter side, though. I mean, everyone's got issues. Russell Wilson, though, to me, this is kind of a similar situation where Russell Wilson got knocked for his height and fell all the way to the third round when what people missed was that he had all the tools. I mean, he could do everything, even though he was short. And I look at Baker Mayfield a lot in that sense. I mean, he can do everything. He's just a little bit short. So don't not draft him just because he's short. I think that would be an oversight.
Yeah, I think the Russell Wilson thing will change. I think it has changed the impression of certain quarterbacks. Right? If they can find throwing windows, if they have some athleticism to get outside the pocket, if you have an innovative offensive coordinator, then a guy like Baker Mayfield makes a lot of sense. And he's the guy, when you talk about like the college tape, and you turn it on and you want to compare and contrast with Trubisky. He obviously stands out. He's the Heisman Trophy winner. He's got immense production over a long period of time at Oklahoma, one of the best college programs there is. I mean, this guy is a winner. I like the swagger that he plays with. You're a little bit concerned about the size. You're a little bit concerned about the scheme he's coming from. I think the size advantage definitely goes through to Mitch Trubisky. The offenses of Oklahoma and North Carolina, you can compare and contrast those. So to me, if he's like my number one guy this year, because the other guys, to me, there's too many concerns about a Sam Darnold, a Josh Rosen who never lived up to his hype, a Josh Allen who completed 56% of his passes at Wyoming. You know, that just blows my mind, especially in the college day when everyone should be around 63%. So there's concerns there, and especially with the competition he faced. So, again, I'm going to say it, just based off college production, film, size, and all that stuff, give me Mitch Trubisky right now over any of these guys. You know, I think the Bears may end up, again, looking smart for pouncing on Trubisky. You know, everybody kept saying, wait for this next class because you have the Sam Darnolds and the Josh Rosens of the world, but they never lived up to the hype to me. Yeah. So much hype about those guys. And, look, none of these guys are Andrew Luck. You know, they're supposed to be Andrew Luck coming out of college, but they're not. You know, when Josh Allen of Wyoming is considered a better prospect than a Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, look, something is amiss here right now. And I get that people were torn about Mitch Trubisky, but I'm torn on all these guys coming out this year for various reasons.
It's interesting because Baker Mayfield comes with some off-the-field question marks, and I actually think he's the safest prospect out of all these guys. You know, and you're here's what I don't want to hear, and you're going to hear it, unfortunately, but the comparisons to Johnny Manziel from the off-the-field side of things, don't do that. And if you hear it, ignore it, because there's a huge difference, okay? And I'll tell you why. I mean, Baker Mayfield had one incident off the field where he was drunk and it was caught on video and it was unfortunate. Johnny Manziel had a long track record of issues, okay? And you talk to the people around the program, it was pretty well known going into the draft of the issues that Johnny Manziel had. And to me, it was stay the hell away from him. On top of the fact that I never thought he was that good of a quarterback in terms of throwing the actual football. Yes, he was electric with his legs and can make incredible plays and did so. But a lot of his throws at Texas A&M were Hail Marys where he was just lobbing the ball up in the air. He did not have the arm that Baker Mayfield has. You talked to already people around Baker Mayfield. They loved him as a teammate. He knows football, intellectually sound, captain. The whole deal, they love him. It's not the same situation. He has some questions he has to answer, but he's a much better quarterback than Johnny Manziel, and the off-field issues are nowhere in the same category. I feel pretty confident early, and still got to dig more into this, but that those issues that haunted Manziel in the NFL are not going to do the same thing to Baker Mayfield. So in a weird way, I actually think he's the safest of all these quarterback prospects.
I love how in his meeting with the media at the Senior Bowl, he literally referenced Johnny Manziel by his full name, saying, I don't have any of the Johnny Manziel stuff. That's not the exact quote, but he used Johnny Manziel stuff going on.
Yeah,
I think he understands his situation. He's a very smart and cognizant, very aware player, not only of his place on the team, but his importance as a quarterback, but also what's going on, you know? Like, he's aware of the concerns of him, whether it's his height, whether it's where he's coming from, Oklahoma, and whether it's that arrest that he got in trouble for. God, everybody's seen him get tackled by police, right? I mean, it went viral. It was everywhere. God, I feel like I saw it just the other day when people were sharing it in terms of previewing the Senior Bowl. Obviously, that's a concern. Teams don't like seeing that. But you know what? Teams were concerned with Marcus Mariota for not having any red flags on his resume. So
they always find something to get concerned about.
Yes, yes. You know, these scouts, you know, they overanalyze certain things. But, yeah, give me Baker Mayfield. I think he's better than all the other quarterbacks. I think he brings an exciting factor to your game. Again, I think he's a very smart player, very aware player. I think he is fully invested in football, where I have questions about the other guys in terms of, you know, when you have a quarterback, you need a guy who's just the entire ambition is to be a great quarterback, right? They're not concerned about all the other extracurricular stuff that comes with being an NFL player. I think you have that in a Mitchell Trubisky, and I think you have that in a Baker Mayfield, where guys like Josh Rosen, you have to fully question whether or not what they want out of being a football player.
Well, this is kind of the unofficial start to draft season, so we wanted to get you a little bit of Senior Bowl talk, but plenty of time over the next few months to talk more about the quarterbacks and, of course, other positions that the Bears are actually going to be looking at in the draft, because they have their quarterback. And I think you're right, Adam, that especially when you factor in what we've already seen from Mitch in the NFL, the Bears have to be pretty happy that they addressed this last year and didn't wait until this season. We're going to get out of here, though. Fun episode. Wanted to get you that stuff. Officially welcome Brock Olivo to the program. Can't wait for more of him. Unfortunately, though, as you pointed out, Johns, he's not going to be talking to the media very much. So that's unfortunate, but maybe we can get him.
We got to get him in training camp. We could totally get him in training camp. That's when they're most open.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Again, remind you, next week from the Super Bowl, Sports Central officially launches. I will share more information on subscribing on iTunes and so you can listen to the podcast. But if you want to listen live, we're going to take phone calls. We're going to, I mean, the advantage of putting it on live on the stream is that you guys can interact with the show as it's happening. So WGNRadio.com, WGN Radio app from 1 to 2 p.m. On Tuesday is when we launch from Radio Row. If you use the app, when you go in there, there's different stream options because the default is going to be actual WGN Radio. You're not going to hear me on that. You're going to hear John Williams, who also puts on a fine program. If you want to listen to John Williams, he knows his sports too. He'll probably be talking more about politics or something, but you can listen to John Williams. But if you hit the extra stream, there's a couple different options there. If you hit WGN Extra, that is where Sports Central will be streaming live from 1 to 2 p.m. every single day, Monday through Friday. We're launching Tuesday, though, instead of Monday, because I got to get down there. Tuesday, January 30th from Radio Row, and we're going to have a ton of guests all next week. Adam, you've seen Radio Row. I actually haven't, so I got to get prepared for this, but it's a nut house from what I hear, and there's going to be guests everywhere, so we're kind of going into this assuming we're going to pull a lot of great guests, and it should be a lot of fun all next week.
I'm looking forward to your interview with Mila Kunis. I'm looking forward to your interview with Brandon Marshall, who will be there. Get Matt Forte on there. Who else?
Brandon Marshall?
Any famous actress you could get is a tip in your cap, Adam. Just keep that in mind, you know? Think what the people want.
I'm looking forward to my interview with Mila Kunis, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully your wife is not listening to this part of the podcast, but we should be good.
I don't think she listens. I don't.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
All right, we need to get out of here. A lot of fun today, though. Glad we knocked a lot of stuff out. Hope listeners enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. WGNRadio.com/Bears is where you can read me. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you read Johnsy. Find the podcast on iTunes. Please subscribe, rate, review it. And please follow us over to Sports Central next week. We're going to have a lot of fun. And at least next week, I know there's going to be a lot of others. Bulls, Blackhawks stuff down the road. But we're at the Super Bowl next week. So plenty of football. Please check us out, Sports Central, next week. WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app. And I'll pass along all the iTunes information later this week when I have it. Johnsy, hope you have a good rest of the week, buddy.
See you, my friend.
All right. We will talk to you probably in a couple weeks. Look for the next episode of Hoge and Johns. Talk to you then.
We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable.